Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is episode number 17 of the EBNP. Our guest is David Strashnoy, the Chief Executive Officer of Betty Games. He's a lawyer who has possessed a passion for video games throughout his life. His startup, Betty Games, is looking to disrupt esports tournament organization by using platform-agnostic conversational artificial intelligence to source data via application program interfaces, or API, to provide real-time stat tracking to tournament admins. In this podcast, you'll learn more about how his team and he have been utilizing Discord as an incubator for the development of this powerful tool. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
And today my guest is David Strashnoy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Trent. Really pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. Enjoying the opportunity to chat.
Yeah, we actually had a really cool conversation before we got this thing started, and I learned a lot about your program so far and what you're doing with Betty. But let's start off with the origin story of David and how he got first introduced to gaming and esports.
I've been gaming since, I'm going to date myself, but I had like the original Nintendo, when I was 6 years old, playing Duck Hunt and, things like that, and graduated to, what did I have? TurboGrafx-16, Genesis, and then, the later versions of the consoles. I've been gaming all my life. I've never been an elite gamer or anything like that. You would have never found me, winning or even being the best in my group, But, I've always loved gaming and video games and, just for fun. Mostly sports games. That was always my thing growing up. And frankly, even as an adult, the gaming has never stopped. I think that's pretty common with a lot of people, like regardless of whether they're in the gaming industry or outside of the gaming industry, because frankly, I'm relatively new to the gaming industry. My path has been kind of circuitous, but gaming and actually playing video games is definitely something I've done all my life.
That's actually a super big benefit, I think, to being successful in esports, in my opinion. And the industry is changing to show more value in having a long experience in gaming. Where about in the world did you grow up? I know that you've done a lot of different things in your career, but what about your experience when you were growing up? Where did you grow up, and what was gaming like in culture where you were growing up?
I grew up in Southern California, and me, gaming was mostly just console with friends. From a young kid to being in my teens or 20s, gaming was definitely it was the social glue, let's say, or one of the social glues of our group, and it's just one of those things you do on a Friday night or Saturday night or this was before internet and mm-hmm. Being able to connect with people through gaming across the world. This is just a way to for friends to stay together and to have activities together, and it was just very frequent, whether it was shooter games or sports games or when I was in my 20s, Halo was the big thing on Xbox, and all of our social activities, frankly, would be centered around, playing and doing everything else that, talking all the, a lot of talk, let's say, and just messing around and, having a good time. That was always my sort of non-professional experience with gaming really all my life before I decided to try to make it something more serious and more professional.
Yeah, that's sort of the foundation, I feel like, for a lot of people who experienced gaming when they were growing up. I mean, there are people in the industry that haven't experienced gaming, and so they're kind of learning about the culture and the experience in a later stage in their life. But, you know, we're learning about how to include those people into the culture of gaming and esports. When you were attending the university, I know that you went both to get your undergrad, and you also got your doctorate degree in law. Mm-hmm. Was gaming at all a part of the culture while you were in university?
With my friends, yeah. I mean, especially in law school. I mean, I think it's a big part of it is just relaxation and just blowing off steam. Mm-hmm. And especially in law school, I mean, we were just stressed out like crazy. And so, you know, when we weren't studying or things like that or working, like I said, it was Halo, basically, or Halo, or, you know, NBA 2K or, you know, Madden, and just really just trying to relax and have a good time. I mean, I think that's really been the common denominator for me in terms of gaming, especially as an adult, is it's just been a source of relaxation because, mm-hmm. you know, as you get older, you have more issues, more problems, and, you know, just more things in your life that you have to deal with. And frankly, mm-hmm. it's even to this day. I mean, I'll still just, you know, play games that I just want to play for fun, like at 1 o'clock in the morning, just mm-hmm. to, like, before I go to sleep for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Just blow off some steam and try to relax and you know, keep my mind from racing, basically, which, you know, everybody at our age at this point, your mind's always racing. You know, you got a million things to do, but you can't do that when you're focused on one thing in the game, which, you know, that to me is the biggest benefit of gaming today in my personal life, frankly.
Gaming is foundationally a form of having fun and being entertained and getting a sense of enthusiasm and passion and pleasure from enjoying a game based on the story or based on the friends that you're playing the game with, and so community oriented. And so, like, that's, I ask that question a lot from the guests, is like, what was it like in high school? You know, what was it like in college? And now that you're, you know, pursuing this, whether it be a younger individual trying to be a player, or a seasoned veteran that's looking to own a team, or somebody coming from, you know, casual gaming that's trying to develop a piece of software for competitive gamers to increase their advantage of winning. So, you know, it's pretty interesting with the stuff that you're doing with Betty Games, and you know, it just so happened that you were able to stumble upon my community, and I like to, you know, evangelize with you about Betty Games and what sort of things that you're doing with the company, and how it's working out right now, and maybe you could tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the CEO of Betty Games, and Betty is basically a next generation Discord bot, although we're on some other chat apps as well, but focusing on Discord. And our thesis is really about automating esports for Discord communities and making it competitive amateur gaming for the most part, just extremely easy to do. And at the same time, we want it to be essentially within the gamer ecosystem. You know, we know there are a lot of companies in this space that are doing competitive gaming and, you know, for years now, probably for the last 20 years, and if not more than that. And, you know, the main approach that most companies have is, I build a website or I build an app, throw some marketing dollars at it, and people will come to me, basically. Mm-hmm. They type in mm-hmm. their password, they type in, you know, their username, password, and now their community is my platform, basically. where we're basically taking the opposite approach, where we are not trying to, you know, get gamers to come to us. We are trying to go to where the gamers are. And so that's why we made the decision to develop a first of its kind platform, which is a full messaging as platform system. And this is different than other chatbots that exist. And we know there's tons of chatbots that have, you know, they're not platforms more than they're utilities, essentially. So they can do a few things really well, but that's the end of it, essentially. Or, you know, for marketing purposes, they can find you marketing leads, and then they send you an email so that you can contact a client or whatever the case may be, or potential client. So what we wanted to do was basically insert a bot that's a full platform that you wouldn't have to go anywhere else. It would just insert itself into your Discord community, and any Discord community can use it to basically facilitate competitive gaming tournaments or PvP wagers with their community members, whether it be a small community of friends that's, you know, 5 to 10 people, or, you know, 10,000 people. It really doesn't matter, because the bot supports communities of all kind. And so that's the part that's really easy for the user, because the user already wants to be in Discord. The user already is in Discord. For PC gamers, Discord is, you know, dedicated real estate for one of their screens, basically, is Discord. It's always on, it's always there. And so we wanted to insert ourselves into that ecosystem, and that's really what we've done. And so the benefit of that is, one of the main benefits, aside from sort of the general idea, is that to use our platform, you actually don't need independent credentials. You don't need an independent username. You don't need an independent password. You're using Discord's username and password in order to get onto our platform. All you need is to plug in your, you know, choose a username and an email that you give us, and that's it. So it's super simple from that point of view, because users don't have to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Everybody hates passwords and usernames anyways. You know, I've long sort of given up on joining platforms just because they force me to you know, put in new credentials. So the other side of it, though, in terms of the ease of use, in addition to the Discord integration, which is key and really separates us out from basically everybody in the space. We're the only ones to have done this. The other part of it is, we are interested in doing everything in an automated way in order to ease the life of the individuals organizing the tournaments or the wagers or whatever they are, and the users themselves. And so one of the big pain points for the amateur competitive gaming community, especially in Battle Royale, first-person shooter games, we focus on Warzone right now. That's our big game that we're in closed beta with, testing our platform out on. But one of the big issues for users and a big pain point for them is that they have to self-verify their scores. So instead of focusing on winning the tournament and playing to the best of their ability and, you know, trying to kick ass, hopefully I can say ass on your podcast, but you can edit it out. They have to focus on, you know, clipping and providing proof and, you know, all of these things. They're taking screenshots if they're on console. And frankly, you know, the feedback that we're getting is it's just really distracting. It distracts from the gameplay. It distracts from the competition and what they're trying to do. And so our approach is different. We want to automate everything. And so we have, and granted, there are other competitors that have similar things, but we track scoring. We have a backend integration with Tracker GG Network for Warzone and some other games as well. And once we grow, we're definitely going to add games there as well. But for us, you know, we have a pretty strong dev team. That's probably one of the strongest aspects of our company. And so we have the ability and capability to really try to do everything in an automated way, minimize the manual efforts of organizers and users, to really just provide the most seamless and easiest experience in the space. And that's really our goal. And we think that if we can do that and then combine it with the Discord integration we have, you know, there's not really a reason for users to go anywhere else, because if you already give them a superior product in Discord, that's already where they want to be. There's no reason to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and I got to tell this audience that I've jumped on the platform within, you know, David sent me an invite to the server. It sent me a message. It's the most seamless, easy to use Discord bot that I've ever interacted with thus far. I mean, it has some really familiar functionality that you normally would see on a server, but you don't usually see in a private message or a DM on Discord. It's really functioning in a way that I don't think I've ever seen before. I've been searching for something like this for our community for some time. And I want to ask you this question, and I want to kind of see where we go with it. What does esports mean to you?
What esports means to me, and again, I'm looking at it from the point of view of amateur competitive esports. So I have a very broad view of esports.
Yeah.
Similar to, you know, people probably know there's a company called Skillz, which does mobile games. And you know, for them, they're democratizing esports through mobile games. And we have a very similar view. For us, esports is everything and everywhere. You know, every time you bet your buddy $5 on a game of whatever, on a game of NBA 2K, that's esports. It's just competitive gaming. And the wagering aspect is really what turns it into esports, because, you know, right now, traditional esports is really, you know, when you equate it to sort of traditional sports, it's really the upper echelon. It's the 0.0001% of the greatest gamers and most elite gamers out there. And, you know, all respect to that model of esports and that whole ecosystem. But, you know, what we're interested in doing is broadening it so that esports is for absolutely everybody, regardless of your skill level, regardless of what game you play. You know, you can have an esports out of everything. And it's really sort of like it's a juxtaposition of sort of old school life that, you know, gaming, non-esports gaming, even. You know, if you go back 50 years, 70 years to our grandparents, you know, they would play cards, they would play checkers, they would play chess or whatever. And, you know, if they bet 25 cents on that game, then that game was just a little bit more interesting. You know, that's esports right there. That, to me, that's really what it's all about, is raising the stakes a little bit, making it more interesting, getting people's competitive juices flowing. And this actually really goes back to what you started talking about at the very beginning in terms of, you know, how I got into gaming and how people get into gaming and the social aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to be in the Fortnite Cup and be playing for, you know, $2 million or whatever it is to really enjoy and being part of esports and being part of the action, not just viewers, but actually being part of the action. And so regardless of what sort of monetary level you're playing at, whether it's a free tournament or you pay in a dollar or you're playing for $1 million and you make $1 million a year as an elite esports athlete, it's all esports to me. It's all part, it's you know, the amateur side, the focus isn't really there right now, but I think that's where it's growing. And that's really where the market is more than anything else. The ability to grow the esports market and to really have viable business models succeed really revolves around the amateur esports market and this idea that the more we grow people into participating in sort of this amateur esports market, the better it'll be for everybody. And frankly, it'll probably have a great positive feedback loop to sort of the professional esports model as well, because you'll have more people playing the games, more people being into it. And if they're playing it competitively, then they'll start watching it competitively as well. So, you know, one feeds into the other, and I view it as a really symbiotic relationship.
Absolutely. And I think the reason, you know, the reason why I thought of asking you that question is because you are focusing on a demographic of people within the esports industry that are somewhat underserved by the technology. Most developers, most people that are considering esports as their, you know, the innovations that they want to do for it are focused on professional esports, these, you know, leagues and governing bodies and things that oversee the education system and the professional scene, and the tournament platforms don't necessarily know how to communicate with the players. And so what you're bringing with Betty Games is more of a direct communication line versus sort of the macro approach that you might see at somewhere like Challenge or Battlefy or like even Battlefy, Facebook at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook is trying to enter into the tournament organization space with FBGG.
I think that's right. I think that because our focus is on Discord, Discord is a tough nut to crack because it's all sort of hidden, right? Like all the communities are hidden. You have to have an invite. Right. It's like a speakeasy to get into these communities. And so really, but at the same time, it's just like, it's amazing because that's where everybody is. So if you can somehow get yourself into, you know, you can't direct market there in Discord the same way you can on Facebook or, you know, a traditional platform, things like that. And so, you know, the bot platform, what we have and what we offer is really, and when you can do it the way we have, where it's a full platform, it's really one of the only ways to approach that community in the way that you're talking about, you know, basically taking advantage of everything that's amazing and great about Discord and basically integrating a platform. It basically has to be a bot platform in order to interface with Discord in the way that we want to interface with users. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the technology, it's really interesting, the timing of it. Frankly, the technology just hasn't been available to even do this sort of thing, these sort of advanced platform messaging as platform bots. It's only been a couple of years, basically, where there's been a few big companies that like Microsoft that have created bot developer tools that would even allow you to approach this type of technology. And really, it's sort of a function of timing and luck that we started basically working on this at the time when the technology became available to even grow this and to try to create this. And, you know, for us, it's been over a 2-year journey at this point. Like we've been developing this bot for over 2 years. It's serious. I mean, it takes a very, very long time because when you're just creating a bot that is a utility, you don't need an expansive backend, right? But when you're doing it as a full platform, you know, you have to think about the front end, the back end, and all sorts of stability issues as well. Frankly, that's what we're dealing with right now and what we're trying to optimize in our closed beta, which we're in right now.
Right.
But, you know, whatever you're trying to do on a web platform or an app, it just becomes, you know, 5 to 10 times more complex when you're trying to do it through this brand new technology that has really only become available, in the last couple of years. And so it's really an exciting time. You know, we've been really pleased and frankly surprised at the amazing feedback of our closed beta users.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of like a skeptical, cynical. So I'm a lawyer. Like I'm still a lawyer. I've been a lawyer. You know, I passed the bar in 2003. So, you know, that's 17 years. I'm a skeptical person. I'm a cynical person. You know, I'm like, show me the proof, you know, before I think this is good. I've always believed in this. And I thought we were going to, you know, have a great product. But when we actually gave this to our users to try, it was just like an epiphany because like everybody, the light bulb just turned on for everybody, both on our team and from the users that, you know, you're on our server now, you can see like, we're very transparent. Like the whole history of our closed beta is in our server. Yeah. Like, people love it. People just really love it. They love that they can do all of these activities, these tournaments, without ever leaving Discord. And it's literally because of the way we have it set up, where you have to create an account with the bot first. Basically, any sort of pain points are just on that front end, and it's very quick. Basically, once you enter in your game tag, either if it's Xbox or if it's game related, then at that point, joining a new tournament is a click of a button, basically. Mm-hmm. Or what we do in Discord is we've basically used reactions, which have one use, and we've basically turned that on its head and given the reactions a functionality that. You know, we've designed. But, you know, that's really the innovation here. And people, they just love it. They love being able to, you know, enter a tournament, their whole team, everybody, and have it take about 3 seconds. And then they only have to focus on playing the game. And they do that for 3 hours. And that's all their head is in right now, or during the tournament. And then everything is done for them on the back end. All the scores are reported for them, so they never have to do anything. And what we also do is, and this is where the Discord social aspect comes into it, which I really love, and I think it's unique, and you don't really have anywhere else, is that during the tournament, the competitors are all talking to each other in the Discord community, and we have automated live scoring. Through our, we have two bots actually. One's called Betty and one's called Betty Dispatch, which does all the communications into the server about, you know, after the first hour, who's ahead, what's the score, you know, things like that. And people see that and now they know what they have to shoot for. And it's all very seamless. The response and the feedback from our users, it's just been amazing. They love it. And you know, we're really heartened by that. And you know, our goal is to basically take what we have. Sort of, this is the way our closed beta worked. Is we started in our own server, we built up our own server, and we're not trying to get to 10,000 users or whatever. I mean, that's not our goal. Our goal, in terms of scaling the product, is not for everybody to come to our server. Frankly, we might actually retire our server at some point, or just have it be a testing server. You know, we want the bot in every Discord server. You know, that's how we want to scale and have people, because it's so easy to manage and organize, people can just do it on their own. And the back end support with the track scores, there is no bot out there that can do something like that, totally within your Discord community. So, you know, we're giving basically the tools to Discord community organizers and admins to basically organize and facilitate high level, professional level tournaments that our competitors on web platforms have, you know, that costs a lot of money, frankly, to develop, especially in terms of the back end score tracking. And we're just basically offering it to anybody that wants to run with that. Within their community of friends that they already have, the people that they know, rather than having to go to some, you know, enter your credentials into a third party website or app. So in a way, you know, our goal is really to empower Discord users and Discord communities to basically do this on their own. And it's just so much simpler than everything else out there. Like, you've commented on the simplicity, and, you know, I've talked about the differentiation between what we're doing and our competitors, but, you know, in terms of the bot and the innovation there, I mean, everyone has had their experience with bots, and whether they're, you know, basic bots, you know, report my score, or do something else, or there are some tournament bots out there, but, you know, we all know it's like, I'm dating myself a little bit, but, like, you know, back in the day of computers with MS-DOS commands and stuff like that, where, you know, backspace exclamation point, you know, some word, and then the bot comes back to you and, you know, does something, and you're not sure what's happening. And I mean, that's what the bot world is right now. And so, you know, what we're doing is we've created a very user-friendly interface with the bot where it's just point and click. We have commands as well. And, you know, we call them power commands. People who are familiar with the system, they can sort of navigate quicker. Mm-hmm. But sort of by using the reactions as commands, it just, the learning curve becomes so much easier. Because I think we've all had experiences with Discord bots, especially if we're not willing to, you know, read the manual first, which most people aren't, you know, just not knowing what's happening, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to sort of address that issue as well with what we were doing.
Yeah, it's, of course, I can't speak, you know, highly enough for what I've seen so far. I just really enjoyed the user experience and ease of use. I think, you know, for our audience, there's like three different characteristics that people in our membership possess, and they're, you know, either job seekers, entrepreneurs, or investors. And, you know, maybe we can talk to them in different states, but I think the one thing I wanted to ask you about the story behind Betty Games is, what was that that first writing the idea on a napkin moment, the napkin moment to get the idea out there on paper? What was that? What was that like?
I mean, I wish I could say there was a traditional, although I'm not even sure that is traditional, frankly, the napkin idea moment. I mean, our experience is really more of iteration. Okay. I mean, to get to where we are right now, we've probably iterated at least 10 times. Okay. You know, going from what our original idea was to, you know, what we're focusing on now. I mean, frankly, the way this started, it was not in esports at all. Okay. You know, we were actually, this was like 2.5 years ago, something like that, when really, right, when this technology became first available, we were looking at this as a, think of it like eBay, but uh-huh, through chat.
Yeah.
And doing a peer-to-peer seller network, mm-hmm, essentially, mm-hmm, using this technology.
Yeah.
I wasn't really involved at that time. So my co-founder is, and this is a family affair for me, is my father, actually, and he's our CTO.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and he has been a software developer for many, many years. He's basically a platform builder. Yeah. He's worked in the energy space, healthcare space. He's basically like a legendary figure in the Fortune 500 world for building bespoke platforms. And he has his own company, and Betty Games is really an offshoot of those efforts. And so, you know, I was lawyering, being a lawyer, doing my day job, you know, when I first came into this, and we started talking about, you know, what to do with this technology that he started developing for the retail space. And like I told you before, I was always a gamer. I mean, frankly, I love gambling too. You know, I love, yeah, going to Vegas or like just betting on anything, yeah, frankly. Although what we're talking about is the skill-based, yeah, esports, not third-party gambling, right, which is a different thing legally. But in terms of the origin story, so that was really the first iteration is, you know, moving to esports, mm-hmm, and looking at this as a potential avenue, using this chat-based approach for esports. And originally we were actually looking this more as like a PvP model rather than tournaments. And then we had another iteration, which really focused more on tournaments. Mm-hmm. And that was more recent. That was even like during our closed beta. And we really, you know, that's gotten us to sort of where we are today. And frankly, I mean, I think we're probably going to iterate probably about 5 to 10 more times. You know, if we're successful in this venture, then, you know, there's no success without iteration. I mean, you have to, you know, we might have an idea of what, you know, we think this is going to look like, but, you know, the rubber meets the road at some point. You take it to the users and they'll tell you what you really need to do. And that's really been our experience, is we're following, not necessarily following the lead, but, you know, putting it to our users and really relying on user feedback and where the enthusiasm is and where it isn't. And really at this early stage, because, you know, like I said, we're early stage. We're not yet funded. We are, you know, talking to many VCs right now about a seed round. And we're really seriously engaged on that, but it's not happened yet. And so, you know, for us, it's really important to just focus on where the traction is and be sort of narrow-minded right now. And that's what we're doing, and really focusing on Discord, focusing on asynchronous tournaments. So, you know, probably asynchronous tournaments is basically where you have, you know, a group of people playing in the tournament. But it's not brackets, you know, like sort of traditional professional. It's basically, it's kill races where, you know, people can play for 3 hours, as many games as they can get in. And, you know, it's either their high kill game or their top three high kill games or whatever. You add it up, you can do teams. There's all sorts of permutations you can do with it. But that's really what we're focusing right on right now. Once we're funded, we plan to go big. You know, put marketing dollars behind it and then expand to other games, and not just do asynchronous, but to do brackets and to, you know, because it's so community-based, so much of what we're doing is integrated with Discord. And because Discord is so community-based, you know, we feel like the sky's the limit in terms of what we can produce for different communities and different games, because, you know, what a Warzone community want is not the same thing as a League of Legends community. It's not the same thing as a Smash community. And so, you know, it's important to be nimble and to really try to address the needs of each community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this just turning into this really good feel good story. I'm curious about your dad. Was your dad into gaming?
I'm more the gamer.
You're more the gamer?
He was into chess.
Oh, so, he was into chess?
I mean, that's actually a really interesting segue, because, I mean, one of the fastest growing esports is chess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now. I mean, chess is huge with chess.com and some of the other platforms out there. He was always a great chess player. He's less into, like, video games and things like that. But he knows... Him and his team are the technical team, and they're amazing. And, you know, they're great at what they do. And the rest of our team, our management team, is really lucky to have them. And frankly, you know, this sort of thing, doing something so difficult from a technological point of view, wouldn't be possible without a really experienced dev team.
Yeah.
Especially pre-funding.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the part that costs a lot of money to build stuff. And
sure, yeah.
So we already have that basically within our management team. And there's really sort of a consolidated feeling and a common goal within our team to, you know, produce this state-of-the-art platform that's never existed before. But frankly, you know, if we do things correctly, this is going to be the standard bearer. This is how things are going to be done in the next, you know, in 5 years, people will be saying, what's a web platform, you know, because this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. And so he's familiar with the tournament aspect, and his team is familiar with the tournament aspect through traditional, tabletop games like chess, like checkers, like any game that has some sort of competitive aspect to it in that regard, or trading card or any game. Do you have kids? I didn't ever ask you because you passed along.
I have a 6-year-old.
Are they getting into gaming? Are they playing video games?
Oh yeah. My kid is already better than me at Smash. Like my 6-year-old will legit beat me at Smash with me not actually like playing easy on him. Like I'll beat him sometimes too, but like he can legit beat me. So like, I mean, kids, they pick this stuff up really, really quickly for sure. He's more into Roblox right now. His friends at school and stuff like that, they all play Roblox. So
Roblox. Yeah.
I'm less into Roblox, so he's busy with that.
What is it like developing a platform with the future in mind, with looking towards the future generations and how they're going to use the platform to increase their experience in esports?
Wow, that's a big question. you know,
Well, you're the one equipped to answer the question. You have a 16-year-old kid that's playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say that because, I mean, to be honest, when you're developing a platform, you know, there's two aspects of it. There's sort of the part that you're talking about, which is sort of the long-term view and sort of what we're trying to do. And like, that's already been set already. Like we've, you know, we're doing it as a bot integrated platform. Those are sort of like the big thesis type questions of what we're doing. Right. And that said, and you know, that doesn't really shift that much. A little bit, you know, we can add new theories and theses and things like that. But for the most part, it's all about getting down and dirty, frankly, and like debugging and like just, you know, tearing your hair out when something doesn't work and like, you know, when users are upset or like, you know, trying to find workarounds and customer service and, and just really getting things to work at this early stage, because we're in beta still. We are not a public system at this point, and we're still free to play as well. You know, we are going to be integrating the payment processing fairly soon, and it will be a pay-to-play system. But right now, it's really all about, you know, getting something to work, getting it, then stabilizing it, then optimizing it, and then going to the next step, and then replicating, you know?
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't say that it's like a sexy process or it's something that like, you know, it's something like you dream about doing in that sense, but it's hard work. It's hard work and it's really resource and time intensive. And, you know, you're up at 2 a.m. doing this stuff and, you know, but it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's what we signed up for and we love it. So for us, it's okay.
So what's it, what's the process of iteration? Like you talked about learning the, for your system to learn new languages, whether it be a Fortnite or, you know, a new version of Warzone, what's the adaptation that has to go in to learn these new APIs? Sort of like, what's that process like for some of the people listening that are trying to, you know, do something unique for their community?
I mean, for us, again, we're early stage, so we're focusing on just a couple of things. Once we're funded, you know, we'll hire people and we'll, you know, we'll be able to do a lot more in a lot faster time period. But again, it's for us, it's at this stage, it's all about identifying the opportunity and not trying to do too much. I mean, trust me. I mean, our management team meets every day, and you know, certain percentage of those meetings are to kick around, you know, future functionality and pie in the sky, you know, ideas that may or may not come to fruition and really stress testing ideas, essentially. So if you're asking about a process, that's where the process starts, is making sure that the core team meets every day and talks every day and is very close. And for us, that's really easy to do because it's a family affair. you know, not only is the CTO and co-founder my father, but my cousin is also on our management team. and so it's really a family affair. And you know, we have another member of our team, you know, who not family, but also very close. And, you know, I think that's what it is. It's just open communication, battle of ideas. Like for me, I think it's always been important, and maybe that's because I'm a lawyer. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm very big on like, let's not be shy about anything. You know, like, and if an idea gets shot down, like, let's not be upset. Like it's like, I mean, this is kind of funny. It's like, you know, we're Warzone. We're focused on Warzone. Our meetings are like the Warzone, basically. It's like someone throws up an idea and then we go after it, basically.
And
we, you know, we try to tear it down. What about this? What about that? And like, if the idea survives, and hey, that's a great idea. We put it into our idea box, and you know, that's something maybe we implement.
And then
it's a good idea, we implement it. We don't just stop there. You know, there's phase one of implementation. You know, with programming and development, like I'm not a developer, I'm not a programmer, but, you know, I've learned a lot about it. And, you know, I'm sort of the nexus between the product side and the actual sure. technical side and the business side, I guess. But a lot of it is, again, iteration. And like the first iteration of the product, first of all, never works. Like if we're doing like trying a new game, for example, uh-huh. and we're trying to get the API to work for, you know, score verification on the back
end. Yeah.
Like it's a running joke at this point for us. You know, the first test, it's like there's zero chance it's gonna work. We have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Then you do it, and then like it works a little bit, and then you just have to have like feedback loops, basically,
and try to be
as efficient as possible with your product feedback loops in order to get the product to the place where it needs to be. The problem is, you know, I mean, it's not a problem. It's just how it works is, you know, you get it to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
But then you want to add a new feature.
Yeah.
And so when you add a new feature on top of the old product, it messes with everything. And so you have to basically start all over again. And now you go back to iteration number one. And so that's why it can be slow sometimes, especially when you're, you know, a small founding team like us at the early stage. And, you know, we all have day jobs right now. Well, I mean, I just quit my day job, actually. And so I'm full time with Betty now. But, you know, for the last year, I had a day job and we're trying to build this up while doing that. So, you know, it's a process. We're learning as well. I mean, that's the cool thing about this is when you do a startup, you're just constantly learning every day what works, what doesn't. You're learning from your users. Our users are, I mean, I'm not that good at Warzone. I mean, I kind of suck at Warzone, but I know a lot about Warzone from our users.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, we have users that, I mean, their KDs are like 5 in Warzone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they're regularly getting 25, 30 kills in a game and like, and, you know, explaining to me like, you know, the ins and outs of this and like cheating issues and like all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, like my ears are always open. For me, it's like, because this space is so vast, it's impossible to really know everything about every single game. Even if you're like an elite League of Legends player, like you can't start a business like this and expect to know everything about every single game and be like the sole knowledge base for everything.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And so it's just really important to have subject matter experts about the games and about like all of the ins and outs. And that's essential for us, even if we ourselves are not the subject matter experts, because it allows us to make sure that our platform, and you know, that's our expertise is building the platform, that you know, it's not inconsistent with the reality of the actual game.
Yeah.
You know, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. So you always need that nexus between the subject matter experts and the platform builders. And so for us, that's why we're so appreciative and love our beta testers so much, because that's what they help us out with. And that's only going to grow. I mean, once we're funded, we'll hire people for that. But, you know, at this early stage, you sort of have to hack together a solution in order to get things to work. And so that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. And you know, we're coming up, wrapping up on the hour here. And, you know, we haven't even gotten to really dive into everything. You're such a interesting person from your, you know, being a diplomat and being a lawyer and all these other things that add to what kind of value you're bringing into a startup like Betty Games. And a lot of people can probably learn more about how to run a business just based off of your experience and know how to do it the right way, and run a global company, you know, because you're world traveled and that's something that not a lot of people have that sort of experience. You know, I ask this question usually on in closing, like, what piece of advice would you have for your younger self or somebody just getting started in esports or in game development?
I would say it's not something that I'm probably sort of suffering from now, it's a lesson that I learned is don't hold back. Like, don't sit on a product expecting it to be perfect and then like only go to market when it's perfect. You know, if I could go back, I think, you know, we would have started our closed beta earlier. I think that's probably the biggest thing when it wasn't even, you know, perfect. I mean, we spent a lot of time like trying to get it to even get to the closed beta. And, you know, COVID happened in between as well. So, you know, we're doing all of this, you know, during COVID as well. But I think that's the biggest issue is like, you can't have fear of, you know, someone not liking your product. Because what you're putting out there initially is not your product. You know, it's this, like we were talking about, this iterative process in order to get your product to the place it needs to be. And I think the sooner you do that, whatever venture you're in, the better off you're going to be, because you're going to start entering that feedback loop that you need, that's really essential to any product development. You'll get that faster, and you'll grow your user base faster. Like, you know, we'd be, and it's not linear, you know, like if we had started earlier, we'd probably be way more ahead right now than we are right now, but it's fine. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, has their journey and does things the way they do them. And we can't go back in time. But I guess that would, again, be my main piece of advice is you just got to go for it. You can't be timid. And you can't get upset. That's the other thing. Like, shit's going to happen. I mean, like, there's going to be stuff that happens that may make you upset. And like, you need to just get over it and just try to have like a mindset where, you know, you're just like a train going forward. I mean, like that's kind of how I look at this venture in general, is that like for me and for us, like Betty is a train basically, and it's going to its destination. We're here to basically get it there in the best place, you know, in the best way possible. And, but like we have to have this sort of mindset that, you know, this is going to be successful. And, you know, we have the wisdom and the subject matter experts and the approach and the team, we think, to get it there. And it's really about just being open-minded to good ideas, vetted ideas that you think that will actually succeed in market. And then just having this like undying persistence in the face of rejection, in the face of people not liking things. And, you know, you have to be your own evangelist, basically. And then there comes a point where there's validation, you know, like we feel like we've sort of crossed that threshold with the validation. But, you know, for the longest time, you know, there were no users. So, you know, it was just us. And you have to have, you know, the ability to have that self momentum to get you to validation, that at least that initial validation, and then you can roll with that. And then, but you just have to keep on going. Like, you never stop. And you know, to me, that's really sort of what I would tell myself earlier, or what I would tell anybody else, is you have to be that engine. And the engine can't stop, whether your feelings are hurt or whether things aren't going well or whatever the case may be. You can't stop ever.
Absolutely. And so for the listeners, this has been David Strashnoy. Tell the audience, David, where they could find you and how they maybe can get signed up to be a part of this closed beta.
Yeah. So the best way to do it is you can go to betty.gg. And then you can sign up there for the closed beta. And then we'll basically, once you sign up, you get a Discord link and it'll take you directly into our server where you can sign up to the bot and participate in our tournaments and, you know, whatever you want. We're going to expand it soon as well. There's going to be somewhat of a marketing push as well. The other way you can get to our server, which is actually even easier, is probably on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, we are at Betty Games. And the Discord link is in our Twitter. And similarly, we are Betty underscore GG on Instagram.
Awesome. And how about finding you and maybe talking with you directly if they want some advice or some guidance on getting into the industry?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best way. I mean, LinkedIn is this amazing platform too, especially in the esports space. I mean, it's very underutilized in a lot of fields, I feel. But esports has done a really, really good job. It's almost like a grassroots effort, you know, facilitation of esports networking. It's great. And so, yeah, LinkedIn, that's probably the best way to connect with me and to talk.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show, David. And for the audience, as always, you can follow us on Esports Business Network on most platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Right now, if you sign up on our website for a bronze membership, you'll get free access. That membership is going to be going up in the new year if we decide to continue it so that we can do what we've just started doing on Wednesday nights at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're live on all platforms doing a virtual meetup, networking, talking about a particular subject in esports that people want to know about how to do better in that particular topic. And so, yeah, once again, this has been the Esports Business Network podcast. Thank you for listening. Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.